You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Stone and Chris Pimlott here to look ahead to the best of Friday's racing. And what a Friday we have in store as well. We're going to focus on racing at Newbury and at Cheltenham, but there's cracking racing all over the place tomorrow. A good card at Doncaster as well to look forward to. You'll hear that all live on William Hill's Racing Radio. But we're going to focus, as I said, two races at Newbury, two at Cheltenham. We'll get to those in just a second, but first things first, good afternoon, Chris Pimlott.
Very good afternoon to you, Alex. Good to be here. Beautiful autumnal day outside. The sun is shining, the trees are looking magnificent, and the flat season's over, and we're looking forward to the jump racing kicking in. I know it's the Racing Post Trophy this weekend at Donny, but that don't count now anymore.
You see, that's interesting you should say that, because obviously for statistics, the flat season is over, statistically. But there is still some fair prize money up for grabs and some decent races left. I just find that the flat season just drags on a little bit, just overstays its welcome a little bit. And now you've got some, for example, on Friday and Saturday, some great racing at Cheltenham that isn't almost taking centre stage because of events elsewhere. Would you say that's fair?
I still think it's great racing, to be fair, on the flat. As I say, I'm just looking at my Racing Post now, and British top flat jockeys in Britain from January the 1st, but the championships from May the 2nd to October the 17th. Mm. So how do we work it out now then? So how many winners did Sylvester have before the 2nd of May? How many is he going to have since his 17th of October? It's all very complicated to me, that is for sure. But it wouldn't be difficult to fill the pin, that is for sure. No problem whatsoever.
No, that is true. We'll just start with a little bit of news. The VHA have introduced some new protocols for low sun. Of course, it's something that seems to be becoming an increasing problem it's sort of the later stage, isn't it, of jumps cards, when the sun is quite low in the sky. And although it isn't, it's not the sunniest place you've ever been, is it, England? It's not, doesn't tend to be baking hot, but the sun can cause a problem. So, new protocols as follows. I'll just run these by you, Pim, see if you think that they are useful or not. If riders consider there may be a problem, they should inform the stipendiary stewards as soon as possible, who will then inform the clerk of the course. Riders should ride past the obstacles that they have concerns over on the way to the start. If riders still have concerns when arriving at the start, they should inform the starter, who will radio the stipendary stewards. They will then liaise with the clerk of the course to consider alternatives to removing obstacles, and if obstacles have to be removed, an announcement will be made. If there are further races remaining on the card, then the process above should be repeated for each race. Basically, it just sounds like they're going to be going past the obstacle that they think there may be a problem with, rather than just suggesting that is the case, which, it's not groundbreaking, is it?
I don't think it's rocket science. I don't think BHA are going to get anybody to the moon on that theory, that is for sure. Although I think maybe one or two of them down at Shaftesbury Avenue could actually be on the moon with some of the decisions they come out with. But that's another story. it's only really the sensible thing to do. Say, listen, guys, if you've got an issue with it, ride past it, see how it affects you, and then take it from there. So it's not a big deal. But then when you've got to then consult the starter, who's got to consult the stipendary stewards, then's got to have a word with the caterers just in case they want the sandwiches a little bit later in the steward's room, who then comes back to the clerk of the course, who then has some more interaction with some race goers, and hopefully, they'll put the decision to bed.
All jokes aside, though, it was a problem last year, wasn't it? You saw some good races that were completely decimated because
jumping three or four hurdles.
You'd have a novice chase where you'd backed a horse based on its ability to jump, and it turned into a glorified flat race. Basically.
I think you're dead right, and it did happen quite a bit last year. Who knows? It may never happen this season, depending on how Mother Nature performs. But it's a step forward, but I wouldn't say we're all going to jump up and down and think, well done.
Okay. Fair enough, but it's just one of those things. You can't do anything about the weather, can you?
No, no. Mother Nature, she takes... she calls the shots.
She does indeed. Right.
And that's, again, but to be fair, though, by going back to the Quipco thing and the covers and all that, well, hello. Hey, guys, you know, if you're going to have your major meeting in October, then you've got to expect that the days are shorter, the sun's not as strong, there's much heavier dews, there's going to be some more cutting the ground. Why don't you just leave it to nature, knowing full well that it is actually going to be on the easy side? I think when they put those covers on, it'll actually make the ground gluey and tacky, which it often does at the likes of Cheltenham when they're doing it for frost and whatever.
That is true. That is true. It becomes very testing all of a sudden.
I think, well, you know, maybe a change of location to that meeting in the season might be better.
Yeah.
Rather than leaving it till October, when one thing you're not going to guarantee is good to firm ground.
That's a fair point, Pimmis. It's a fair point. Okay, we've got two races at Newbury and two at Cheltenham to look at. We'll start at Newbury then. And we're going to start with the 3:35, which is a filly's handicap over a mile and two furlongs. We've got nine runners down to go to post. And some fairly unexposed types, Pimmis, that have been, you know, ridden quite quietly so far this season. Not many runs for quite a few of them, and they're the most interesting ones here, aren't they?
I think so, yeah. I mean, basically, I think the two main protagonists here are the two fillies that carry the colours of Khaib Abdullah. That in the shape of Disdain. She has had one win to her name in her career. And I thought she might have slightly disappointed when she was beaten 6¾ lengths behind Batil last time at Newmarket. Just drops down a little bit tomorrow from a mile and a half to a mile and two. Just may well suit her. And certainly she's a player for me. And there's a little bit more to come from her, hopefully. And you can say the same thing about Mill Point, trained by Amanda Perrett. She got ahead in front last time out. That was at Lingfield. Same trip as tomorrow, a mile and two. And again, there could be a little bit more to come from her. This is her handicap debut, and you'd have to think that you know, she's not overly burdened with a mark of 80, I didn't think.
Okay, so what's the pick going to be?
I'm going to take a chance with Mill Point, with the onus being on Progressive.
Okay. Mill Point, the pick then, in Newbury's 1:35. Newbury's 4:10 is the next race that we're going to look at, and it's a handicap over a mile. We've got 12 runners down to go to post, and this is a fascinating contest, Pimmers. We've got plenty of horses that have shown some smart form throughout the season. You've got your unexposed ones in there. You've got those that are not unexposed in the slightest, thoroughly exposed, but have still bring some solid form to the table. You've got some that act on the softer ground and some that don't, and it should be a decent race.
A very, very competitive race, yeah. I mean, to be honest, paltry prize of 4,800, to be perfectly honest, for a race that's as competitive as this. I mean, basically, you've got a band of £5 in the handicap. Top mark with 85 is Goring, carrying 9.7. Bottom mark is 80, carrying 9.2. So, you know, if the handicap has done his job, there should be very, very little in between these guys once they flash that past that winning post at Newbury tomorrow.
Could well be one or two lurkers in here, though, couldn't there?
I think there are a few lurkers. There's no two ways about it. I mean, what you see is what you get. He's tough, he's consistent. Greatest hits, well, he could be anything, to be fair. Carries the Godolphin Blue. Haven't seen him for 326 days, but he won on challenge when we saw him at Kempton last time out. And again, there could be an awful lot more to come from him. Then you've got hard to handle, tough and consistent, ran well enough in defeat behind Dazzle the Jewel at Newbury last time out. Yenham's been slightly disappointing. Purple Rock, you could say the same about him. He's blinkered again. Then you come to an interesting one in predominance. Only see him on the race course on one occasion. It was at Chepstow, 7 furlong maiden, dotted up. And again, he could just be anything. Carries the colours of the Highclere Thoroughbreds. And again, more than likely not overly burdened. Only handicap debut with a mark of 83. Second wave's interesting, tough and consistent again for the boys in blue. A nice winner last time out at Chelmsford City when he beat Jaeger by a head. Lovely surprise, slightly disappointed last time. As to as Lear's Rock, Little Lady Katie been slightly disappointing. And so you could say about Dark Wave and Pope's Wood, to be honest, that they haven't possibly achieved as much as we'd like to have seen them do in the past. So, you know, competitive race, 12 of them got a post. Do I go greatest hits, trusting that he's fit after that absence? Or do I go with predominance, who could be far, far better than a handicapper off 83? Or do I go for second wave, whose form is pretty rock solid and, again, looks like he's got a progressive profile? Well, it's the dilemma.
But what's it going to be, Pimmis?
The pin has fallen. on Predominance.
Okay. Predominance, the pick then for Pimmers in that one. And crucially, Pimmers, he's only had the one run, was at Chepstow, and it was on soft ground.
Yeah, and they're going to get given the ground tomorrow, isn't he? So that's interesting. And as I say, you know, it could be anything. Could be anything. And William Haggis has had a fantastic season as well, hasn't he?
One of the price that I will just throw into the mix is the bottom one. I know you brushed over Pope's Wood, but does love soft ground. And it might be that at this stage of the season, some of the others, you know, aren't as keen on it. Pope's Wood does have proven form on pretty tacky going. So
yeah, well, I wouldn't disagree with you there. And to be fair, Mick Shannon's having a good time of it as well at the moment. Mm. 17 or 20 at York last time out doesn't inspire me.
No.
It was soft ground on that occasion as well. So you're possibly being a little bit more forgiving than I would be.
Okay, fair enough. So you're sticking with the Haggis runner?
I am indeed.
Okay, right. We'll move to Cheltenham then, where we've got two races to look at. The first of which is the 3:20. It's a cracking card at Cheltenham. We could have looked at any of these, but we've focused on two. And it is a Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle Series qualifier over almost 3 miles. We've got 12 runners going to post. Where on earth do we start with this one, Pim? It should be a cracker.
Absolute thriller from Manila, I'm sure. Interesting as well that they have just juggled the qualifications for this Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle. It's usually run on the Thursday, I think, of the festival. Basically, years ago, if you were declared to run, then you were allowed an entry. Mm-hmm. Then, I think the last couple of years, it was you had to finish in the first eight of a qualifier, mm-hmm. of which I think there's about 17 qualifiers in the series. This year, they've manded up to in the first six.
Right.
So you've got to be in the first six now, mm-hmm. to get yourself an entry in the final. So I think that's a positive.
It is,
I think that's a positive, because I think it was far too easy for somebody just to declare the horse, not turn up, but then be eligible to enter. Mm. Whereas I think this is a positive and certainly a step in the right direction.
And at the same time, if you've got horses that are finishing consistently seventh or eighth through the season, they're going to be well handicapped come the festival, aren't they?
Correct, yeah.
Whereas this, you know, you need horses at their best throughout the season.
Yeah, yeah. You know now that you just can't turn up in a Potemps qualifier and go through the motions. You know they'll actually, you know, I've got to be there or thereabouts, or I'm not going to be allowed to play.
That's true.
Positive.
What do you fancy in this one then?
Poof, Minefield. I mean, there's so many horses coming into this race in cracking form. Kilfinch and Bay is one of those, one of his last four.
Rated 140 now, started this sequence off 80 back in, well, it was last August.
That's amazing, isn't it? £60. Mm. Amazing.
And he's won eight of his last nine races.
Yeah, yeah, so fantastic. Again, at some stage, the handicapper has got to have his say. Mm. And you imagine, off a mark of 140, he is going to have his say. But we said that last time. What would he run off last time when he won?
132.
So £8 hike for that win. So, yeah, he's really got to be going places, this fella. And you've got to take on trust that, you know, he can belie that mark of 140. But he's been credit to Charlie Lonsdon. And he has, hopefully, champion jockey-elect on board tomorrow afternoon. So he's definitely a player. Mijar's interesting. He was highly tried last time at Aintree. Back in April, nothing quite as difficult as this tomorrow. Dark Spirit, we haven't seen that for 227 days. Lewis Gordon takes £10 off his back, so Evan Williams more than likely telling us there that he's too high in the weights for him to claim that sort of amount off. Over the Bridge run okay last time out at Newton Abbott. That was over 3 mile two. This possibly won't be quite a stiff enough test of stamina for him, but again, could be there or thereabouts. Mr. Shantou, I thought, was interesting. Patrick Cowley takes a valuable £7 off that fella. He was a winner at Warwick last time out when he beat Kingaburu by 6 lengths. Willem ran well enough in defeat last time when he finished second behind Miss McNamara. That was up at Hexham. St John Henry, you haven't seen him for a long time, but he was a faller last time we fought him. I wonder if it was in a chase or hurdles. It was in the hurdle race, actually. So, again, maybe a confidence boost in there. Palomoko, we haven't seen him for 191 days, like Harry Fryer as a trainer. And this fellow was behind Roll-On Ruby, admittedly three fields and a dike. But, it was a very, very competitive field on that occasion. King Baru, can you leave Dan Skelton and Harry Skentle out of any equation at the moment? Not really. They're always there or thereabouts. Just finished behind Mr. Shantou last time at Warwick. Fighter Jet, I like John Mackey as a trainer. Again, he ran well enough behind Mini Milan last time out. Again, he could be a player at a price. And then you've got Mawakweet, who ran third for the Appleby Yard last time out. And my lad Percy, slightly disappointing of late. So, competitive. Where's the pin going to fall? I'm going to take a chance with St. John Henry.
Okay. David Pipes also, as you said, fell last time out. Also fell at Huntingdon last year, but in between that had two decent wins at Bangor. And, well, if going the right way and ready for seasonal reappearance, would have to go close.
I think so, yeah.
OK, the final race that we're going to look at is the 3:55. It's a novice's chase over 3 miles. We've got seven runners going to post Pimmers. You could probably rule one or two of them out, given that it's such a strong race. And the credentials of the first few in the market are there for all to see. We'll start with Vicente for Paul Nicholls and Sam Twiston Davies, a horse that's had three starts over the larger obstacles. Fell on chasing debut at Fakenham last November, then had a spin over hurdles at Haydock, but returned in April with an easy win in a beginner's chase, and then again in a novice's chase at Newton Abbott and Wincanton, respectively. 1-5 and 2-9, the odds for the last two wins for Vicente. So clearly well thought of. Always well backed, likely to go favourite here again, and would have to go close.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's got a great profile. Definitely going left-handed, he's going to suit him far better than the right-handed at Wincanton last time out. He's obviously held in high regard from the Nicholls stable, but this, to be fair, will be by far his biggest test to date. Mm. You know, he is actually after going to up his game tomorrow, because you've got some really nice sort of horses in opposition. You've got a good skin. Been in great form for the Tom George Yard, 190 days since we last saw him. But he beat Candide up at Ayr last time out. I thought that was a very good run by a good skin. Ballycan's been in great form over the fences. He was a readied winner at Chepstow last time out. And then you've got Shantou Flyer, who was a winner at Sligo when he beat Shadow Catcher last time out. I think that form's pretty rock solid. Mm. And then, like I say, you've got Vintage Vinny, from the Rebecca Curtis Yard. He was a winner at Worcester last time out when easing down to land the spoils there. Weatherfade winning fantastic form of late for the David Pipe Yard when winning at Bangor. And I think the only one that you'd put a line through tomorrow in that race is Pearl Swan, who, you know, would really have to up his game to be a player tomorrow afternoon. So, fascinating race. Good prize on offer, 12.5 grand. I think I'm going to take a chance with a good skin.
All right, so a good skin returning from a layoff for Tom George and Paddy Brennan, but certainly looks to be going the right way, doesn't he?
He does indeed, yeah. And, you know, Tom George can often ready them for the debut, so I wouldn't be worried about that. He's got the experience over the fences, and I think he's a good big player in what is a very competitive race.
Absolutely. OK. Right then, can you spin us through your four picks, Pimmers? The two at Newbury and then the two at Cheltenham for Friday afternoon.
Yeah, so starting with the 3:35 at Newbury, it's the fillies handicap over a mile or two. Going to take a chance with the lightly raced Mill Point for Amanda Perrett and Jim Crowley. In the 4:10, the mile handicap, I'm going to go for the once race predominance to continue on a very much upward curve. In the 3:20 at Cheltenham, the home of National Hunt Racing, taking a chance with number 7, St. John Henry. And in the very competitive novices chase run at 5-4, the selection is a good skin.
Great stuff, Pimmers. Enjoy all of Friday's racing, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.